Good evening. A couple months ago, I preached a message on fear not. We looked at many commands in the Old Testament of where the Lord commands Israel to not fear. We saw how they shouldn't be afraid of the various people that would come up against them when they were going into the Promised Land and how they were to trust in the Lord. And we also looked at how we should trust in the Lord. What should our response be to fear? How do we deal with fear? Fear is a common theme that the Lord discussed with Israel in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Deuteronomy. And so today we're going to look at something that we actually should fear according to the Scripture, and more so, who should we fear? And that, of course, is the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? We hear this many times referenced in Scriptures. It's actually referenced over 100 times. We know from Psalm 19:9 that the fear of the Lord is clean. Proverbs 2:5 says the wise man knows the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111:10 and Proverbs 1:7 both talk about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 and 15:33 talk about how it's the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy. That equals understanding, basically to know God. But Proverbs 1:29, on the other hand, says that the simple and the scorner hates the knowledge of God. They hate the fear of the Lord. Now, we also see in Psalm 33:8 that the whole earth, all of the inhabitants of the earth, are called to have the fear of the Lord. They should have that reverence of God. So to be wise, we ought to have the fear of the Lord. And as Christians, we want to have that fear of the Lord. We want to know what it means, though, so we can live on a daily basis in a way that would reflect the fear of the Lord, that would reflect that we truly know and love God. So what is it? How do we have this fear of the Lord? Well, last time we looked at a Hebrew word that meant to be afraid or have reverence or honor, or it includes the idea of dreadful or terrifying. And there are other Hebrew words that mean fear as well. And the one that is particularly used most often for the fear of the Lord means fear the fear of God or to have reverence. But it can also have that idea of terror or awesomeness. You're just in awe of whatever it is that word is being used in reference to. Psalm 5:7 says, "As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear I will worship toward thy holy temple." This is getting at the idea of what we often think of the fear of the Lord as a worshipful disposition towards our God, something that is an inward heart reflecting a heart of reverence and awe and fear towards God. And so our primary focus today that we're going to look at, though, is what that means for us on a day-to-day basis. How should that really affect our lives? And so we're going to look at today, primarily out of Deuteronomy, that Christians must have a proper fear of the Lord that affects their lives. And our first point today is that the fear of the Lord demands a personal response from you to God's Word. Now, I have a coin here that has on the back, it's a quarter, and so on the back it's dated to 2015 and it says Homestead. When I was growing up, it was popular to see people collecting all the quarters for every single state, and you had the little slots that you could stick your quarter in, and I saw that all the time when I was a kid. But the thing about a coin, any coin really, is that there's two sides. In order to have a coin, you're going to have two sides. And in this case, we have the image of George Washington, and then we have the Homestead image back here. And with the fear of the Lord, it's kind of the same way. There's a little bit of the idea, there's two aspects to this. There's the idea that we often think of that inward disposition towards God, a heart attitude of reverence and awe and fear for the Lord. But what is the other aspect of that? Well, we're going to look at what that means today, in particularly in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, in Deuteronomy 5:5, we see that the people were terrified of going close to the mountain of God, the Mount Sinai, when Moses was giving the law, because they were just like, we're going to die if we get closer, and we see, because they were seeing all the lightnings and the thunder and everything that was going on, and they were afraid, they were terrified of what was going on. And while there's a little bit of that aspect to the fear of the Lord, that's not the primary idea that we're going for. It's not one of cowering fear, like God's going to strike us dead any minute, but that's not the primary aspect of the fear of the Lord. When, again, the fear of the Lord is often described as reverential awe and honor and respect. But we're going to look at that's only one side of the coin, because it can't stop there. In the book of Deuteronomy, the concept of the fear of the Lord is connected to several active responses that should change your life. And the first of which is that the fear of the Lord begins by hearing God's word. The fear of the Lord begins by hearing God's word. And hearing starts by reading God's word. We see this in Deuteronomy 17:19. It says, "And it shall be with him," this is speaking of the king, "that he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." So the Lord here is giving a command regarding the future king of Israel, that whenever he sits upon the throne, whenever he comes into his kingdom, that he should read God's word, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible that we have. So God's command regarding the king was that he was to read and hear God's word. David exemplified his love for God's word, his desire to hear and read God's word. King Josiah tore his clothes when he heard God's word. These were appropriate responses to God's word. But then we see inappropriate, godless responses to God's word, like when the godless king Jehoiakim burned God's word. We see this in Jeremiah 26:23. So hearing starts by reading God's word. How can we know how we should live if we're not pouring our lives into God's word, seeking to hear God's word? Well, then hearing leads to obedience to the Lord. This is, again, back in chapter 17, verse 19. So he would read therein all the days of his life and keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So it's not just enough to hear something from God's word, but you have to act on it. And we're going to look at this more later. So hearing leads to obedience to the Lord. But not only that, hearing results in his abstaining from wickedness. This is kind of the flip side of that. We see this from several verses in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17:13 says, "And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously," or basically don't sin anymore. Chapter 13, verse 11 says, "And all Israel shall hear and fear and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you." Chapter 13 is in the context of abstaining from idolatry that others would entice the Israelites to do so. In chapter 19, verse 20, we also read, "And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you." And chapter 19 concerns the wickedness of bearing false witness against thy neighbor, or telling a lie in order to get somebody in trouble. This is exactly what Ahab did when he hired those people to say false things about his neighbors, the guy who owned the vineyard next door, and Ahab wanted that vineyard. And so this is the exact wickedness that chapter 19, verse 20 is condemning. We see Job, going outside of the book of Deuteronomy, Job is an excellent example of abstaining from evil, when in Job 1:1 it says that he eschewed evil. That's the idea of to stop or change direction from where you were going before, to abandon that direction at all costs. This should be our attitude towards sin. We should completely abandon and refrain from it, to stop and go the other direction. I remember when I was counseling at the Wilds Christian Camp back in 2011, nine years ago, hard to believe. We were having a blue team party for all of us guys, and we were playing some games out on the ball field, ultimate frisbee, that kind of thing. And one of the guys came late, and he said to us, "Hey guys, there's a bear in the cabin area." And we were like, "What?" And of course, being the mature college age guys we were like, "Let's go see." So we go trampling back to the cabin area to try to see it. And a couple of the more adventurous guys were kind of ahead of the rest of us, and we were all trying to keep a safe distance. And all of a sudden, one of them shouted out, "Guys, she's a coming!" And so at that moment, we all ran as fast as we could the other direction so we could get away from the bear. Then as we were running away, we realized that the guy was just sitting there laughing at us and he was pulling our leg. But that idea, that illustrates the idea of what our disposition towards sin should be. That we don't mess around with it. Just like we thought that bear was coming, while even though the danger wasn't really imminent because the bear wasn't coming, she had wandered off before we even got there. The danger of sin is very real. And as soon as we realize that sin is in our presence, the temptation to sin is there, we ought to be like Joseph and run right away and get away from that temptation. This is how we should treat sin. And so hearing results in abstinence from wickedness. So we see that hearing will lead us to learn and read God's word. It'll lead to obeying God's word and abstaining from evil. But hearing must also be done by all the people. In Deuteronomy 31, 12 through 13, it says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." So these verses are indicating that the Bible is for everybody. Everybody ought to be learning and hearing God's word, no matter the age, especially for the young, but also for the old. Every one of us, men and women, needs God's word. Children must hear God's word. The fear of the Lord must be passed on to each generation, is the idea that they're going for. Even the strangers that live in the land must hear the word of God. This refers to those who the protected citizen that has made Israel his home, though he is not of Jewish descent. So God's word is for everybody. And so hearing is a part of learning how to fear the Lord properly. The psalmist says that we ought to fear the Lord in Psalm 34, 11. Psalm 24, 14 says that the fear of the Lord leads to understanding God's word. So the more that we seek to fear the Lord, the more he'll help us understand his word. And this is a common theme through these verses that we are looking at, that we are to be hearing and learning and seeking to understand how to fear the Lord. And so we must ask ourselves the question, are we seeking to hear God's word personally through our own reading of God's word? Is that your desire? Are you seeking to lead your family in hearing God's word with family devotions? Are you seeking to make church a priority so you can continue to hear God's word preached from your pastors? This must be done by all believers. Nobody is an exception here. As we already read that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, how the men and women and children and the stranger, everybody must be doing this, must be seeking to learn how to obey God and abstain from sin. So remember, we're starting to see this idea come forth that the fear of the Lord should impact your life so there is actual change. Well, the fear of the Lord begins by hearing God's word. But the next step is to actually start implementing what you learn in your life. So the fear of the Lord leads to obeying God's word. We see this in Deuteronomy 6:13 and 8 verses 6. There's so many verses about the fear of the Lord and how it demands a moral response from us, one that changes our ethical behavior. So there's a positive and a negative side of obeying God's word. The positive side is obviously doing right. Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name." Deuteronomy 8:6. Therefore shalt thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. So keeping or observing God's commandments, that is his instructions and his statutes, that is his laws, it's a prominent theme throughout the Old Testament, especially in Deuteronomy, and it's very much so connected with the fear of the Lord. Again, the idea of to keep or to observe comes from the same Hebrew word meaning to guard or watch over. There's a sense of carefulness and not mindlessness or apathy. Due diligence must be given to keeping and obeying God's commandments. And it's not just the ones that you like or you think are easy. It's all of the law. We must be committed to keeping all of these commandments, not the favorites. Deuteronomy 28:58 warns that God will send plagues if the Israelites will not observe to do all the words of this law. Again, not just your favorites. All the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. And those last four words, you may notice, are in all caps. So the reason that they are to keep all the words that are written in God's book, it's so that they would demonstrate the fear of the Lord before their holy and righteous God. So we must also be walking in the Lord's ways. We saw this in verse 6 of chapter 8, to walk in his ways and to fear him. That is to say, we must be behaving according to the Lord's behavior or his manner and his customs. Now, how do we know what those are? Well, this goes again back to the idea of how we ought to be hearing and reading God's word, as we saw before. The final aspect of obedience is service to the Lord, doing his will. And we've already read this in verse 13 of chapter 6. And we'll see later how we ought to cleave to the Lord in chapter 10, verse 12 and verse 20. Hebrews 12:18 says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So there's the idea of serving God and having that awe and reverence towards God, but it's also joined with the idea of service. We can't separate the two because they're two different sides of the coin. Having that inward disposition towards the Lord of reverence and awe and respect for God, but there's also the other side of the coin that demonstrates that inner disposition with outward actions. So we see how Israel did not do this, though. In 2 Kings 17:7, it talks about how they feared other gods and therefore obeyed other gods. They did not abstain from sin. So the positive aspect of obeying God's word is doing right. But the negative aspect is abstaining from sin. And again, we've looked at this a little bit already, but Proverbs 16:6 talks a little bit how the fear of the Lord will result in you departing from evil and how you'll avoid sin. Proverbs 23:17 talks about how the fear of the Lord doesn't envy the sinners. Proverbs 8:13 talks about how the fear of the Lord is to hate pride, to hate arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth. Now, in Job 1 is actually the first appearance of the fear of the Lord, chronologically speaking, and we see it twice. In Job 1:1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." In Job 28:28, it says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." So we already looked at the idea of eschewing evil, carrying the idea of being frightened of evil, and how that should be our disposition towards sin. We ought to abstain from evil and run from it. One of my seminary teachers talked about the fear of the Lord in relation to this passage, and he said that it is an outward aspect of the fear of the Lord. Job feared God and was frightened of evil because he understood the true nature of each. So it is not merely an inward mindset, but it includes an outward expression of that fear and how we live on a day-to-day basis. Again, my seminary professor said, the fear of the Lord, or the fear of God in the Bible, is not just an inward awe over God's greatness, but an outward obedience because of his character, his authority to command, his ability to discipline, and his awareness of all we are and do. A child of God should fear to disobey his father, not in a cowering way because he is abusive, but in a sobering way because he is a father. So we ought to demonstrate our love for God, our fear of the Lord, through obedience, through how we actually live on a day-to-day basis. And so there's two aspects of this, the fear of the Lord. Is one, that it's an expression of faith that God really does mean what he says about sin and its consequences. And it's also an expression of love that is afraid to mar that relationship by displeasing him. So if you think about it kind of like an equation, the fear of God equals faith plus love, which results in obedience. If I can boil it down simply, it's to take God seriously, to take him seriously as to what he says, again, about his word and what is truly sin. The opposite is what we see in Proverbs, and that's contempt. The wicked do not fear God because they lightly esteem and ignore God's commandments. And how often do we do the same thing when we choose to sin against God? When we choose to not have the fear of the Lord, when we ignore the fear of the Lord, we're essentially lightly esteeming God's word and showing contempt for what he says. So how are you doing in obedience to the Lord? Are there things that you know the Lord wants you to do by way of service to him and how you live your life and doing right? Are there things that he wants you to abstain from and give up because they're not demonstrating a life free from sin, a life that is pursuing righteousness? The fear of the Lord requires your obedience. It demands action on our part. We see that over and over in scriptures, that the fear of the Lord is linked to action, doing something, abstaining from sin, keeping God's commandments, and seeking to pursue a life of righteousness. Well, not only does the fear of the Lord demand obedience to God's word, but it also demands total dedication of your heart. And this is really the heart of the matter. Loving God's word, loving God himself is the heart of the matter. In Deuteronomy 5:29, it says that, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, Israel, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." And this is where it all begins. Because we can try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and buckle our belt a little tighter and roll up our sleeves and just try harder to obey God's word and abstain from sin and all these things. But if we don't have the heart of obedience, a heart that desires to please God with our life, a heart that truly does fear God on the inside, then how can we expect to demonstrate that on the outside? And so that's why God says that about his people. I wish that they just had a heart that would love me, that would desire on the inside to please me. And so the fear of the Lord must lead to total dedication of love for him. Deuteronomy 10:12, we referenced this earlier. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul." The phrase "with all thy heart and with all thy soul" is really getting at the idea of your total being, emphasizing totality there, all of which our love for God should entail. Every part of us should seek to love God. Well, this love for God leads to permanent exclusivity. Deuteronomy 13:4 says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him Deuteronomy 10:20 says something similar and uses that word cleave. We ought to cleave to God. To cleave means to stick or to cling. Once you latch on to the Lord, you should never, ever let go or leave Him. Now, this is in the context of a false prophet or someone tempting the Israelites to worship false gods. And Moses is commanding the people to not do that, but instead, keep sticking to God. Don't go after those false gods. Keep sticking to God. When I worked at Rodehaver Stage at Bob Jones University, where we put on all of our plays, one of the types of substance that we used to glue big styrofoam pieces together so we could carve it into, you know, giant set pieces, one of the types of glue that we used was called Great Stuff. It was kind of this fluffy kind of stuff that anytime I used it, it was inevitable that I would get it on my hands. And it is unlike any other glue that I've ever used before, because it would just get inside the grain of your fingers, like your fingerprint. I could, even after I washed my hands and scrubbed it all off, there would still be enough left over that I could see it in between the grooves on my fingerprint. And my fingers would feel weird, like I wasn't feeling the same resistance. It was just very interesting how that glue cleaved to my skin. And that's how we should be. Even after it would take me several days to try to wash it that out of my fingerprint really hard, and it would take, just like that, would take a while to wash away, our souls should cleave to God and not let go. So is your desire to stick to the Lord? Are you exclusively and totally dedicated to God? Well, when we love the Lord and fear Him as we ought, this will lead to worship. The fear of the Lord worships and gives to God. That's our final, that's our fourth point that we're going to look at here. And that we see this in Deuteronomy 14:23. Now, we have other places that talk about how we ought to worship the Lord, and the fear of the Lord results in us worshiping the Lord. Psalm 22:23 says that those who fear the Lord should praise Him. Psalm 135:20 calls those who fear the Lord to bless Him. Psalm 96:9 says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." Now, in Deuteronomy 14:23, it is interesting that God specifically says that they should worship in the place that He would tell them. That would end up being Jerusalem. It says in that verse, "And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose to place His name there, the tithe of thy corn and of thy wine and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herd and thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always." So this verse is getting at the idea that we ought to worship the Lord, and they were not supposed to just worship Him wherever they wanted. This is very important for them, something that they struggled obeying so often. But they weren't supposed to worship in pagan temples or in the high places. Those were mentioned frequently in the book of Kings. And they weren't supposed to worship at Dan or Bethel, where Jeroboam set up golden calf worship. They were supposed to worship where God said they were to worship, but they disobeyed Him so often. And that's because worship is for God. They were to obey and worship God how He wanted to be worshipped. And so the principle for us is that we ought to worship God how He wants to be worshipped. Not how we want to worship Him, but it should be done how He says it should be done. So the fear of the Lord should drive us to carefully note the answers to these details and then follow through with obedience to them. It's also interesting to note the reason that the Lord gives for commanding them to give their first fruits, their tithes. They are to be given to Him so they would learn to fear Him always. And this means that the fear of the Lord, again, as we've already looked at, it's something that is learned. We grow in our fear of the Lord. But your giving here, as we see here, your giving to the Lord can directly impact the fear of the Lord growing inside of you. So as we apply this to ourselves, these verses, it's important for us at Thompson Road Baptist Church to make sure that we are seeking to worship the Lord how He wants us to worship. We don't just throw anything into a church service because it sounds good or would get numbers, would please the crowd, or this, that, and the other. No, every element and the structure of our service is all for the glory of God. It's seeking to, we seek to include aspects of our service that are to specifically please the Lord and enhance or give Him greater glory. Well, we've seen how the fear of the Lord demands a personal response to God. And finally, we see today, number two, our main points, is that the fear of the Lord results in His blessing on your life. We see in Deuteronomy 6:2 that a long life is promised to the Israelites, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Proverbs 10:27 talks about how the fear of the Lord results in long days. Now, so a long life to the people of Israel is the reward. Now, does this mean that every evil person was going to have a short life and every righteous person was going to have a long life? No, of course not. Solomon himself wonders in Ecclesiastes 7:15 why he has seen the righteous man's life shortened and the wicked life lengthened. Jeremiah 12:1 and Psalm 73:3 both bemoan the prosperity of the wicked. But the overall principle that God is giving here is that by and large, if Israel will obey and fear Him as they ought, their lives will be blessed with a good old age. Deuteronomy 6:24 also indicates that fearing the Lord and keeping His commandments will result in the Lord preserving them, probably preserving them as a nation in the land. We see many promises in the Old Testament law that if they would obey the Lord, they would be able to stay in the land. But they were also warned, if you don't obey me, you're going to forfeit the land and you will be conquered. And we know that that's what eventually did happen. And so the blessing on the Israelites' life was that they had long life promised, but it was also for their good. Back into verse 24 of chapter 6, it says, "The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day." And Proverbs 19:23 talks about how God blesses those who fear Him. The statutes that the Israelites were to obey were not meant to be viewed as a heavy burden, although the Israelites often did view them as such. They were for God, for Israel's good. They showed Israel how they could live a life pleasing to God. This would lead to their well-being and success in life, and the Lord would bless them and their efforts on the earth. Now, how many of us view wearing a seatbelt as a burden? I traveled with three ministry teams, and one of the people who traveled with us was from a state where they don't require the wearing a seatbelt. And so I was constantly having to remind him, hey, make sure you get your seatbelt on. And he wasn't doing it out of rebellion or anything. It was just kind of habit for him to not wear a seatbelt. But, you know, we often view that as a burden, but it's really for our good and for our benefit. And so we can, by obeying that law, we can enjoy the blessing of extra safety by following the seatbelt law. Now, we often think that it is insincere to do good and obey God for reward. But He tells us to do so. He says it right there. Do this. I want to bless you. If you will obey me, I will reward you. God wants to give us good gifts. And so we should love God for who He is and what He's done, but God also consistently promises the Israelites and us certain benefits if we obey Him. So it is not wrong to desire God's blessing on your life because it means that you are living in a way that truly pleases Him. So is that what you're striving for today? Are you striving to have the blessings of God on your life and seeking to live a life that is pleasing to Him? Today we have discussed what it means to properly fear the Lord. And we have looked at how the fear of the Lord requires action on our part. It is not just an inner disposition that towards the Lord, but it is an outward expression of faith and love. It means that we actually live in a way that pleases Him. So we could go so far to the one extreme where we're so focused on our actions and it's all just about what we do and we're trying to get God to like us and to please us. But we see that condemned as well because there were things that the Israelites were doing. They were bringing their sacrifices. They were obeying the law of Moses, but there was no heart behind it. They were just trying to manipulate God and get Him to be okay. So long as they fulfilled their religious requirements, they could go live however they wanted. But God condemned that and said, no, I want your heart. I want true love and the fear of the Lord. So it's not just enough to have the externals, but if we only focus on the inner disposition, we can almost think of it, can lull ourselves into thinking it's just kind of this idea out there that we just think about God and have a humble disposition towards God, and then it doesn't lead to any action on our part. No, it takes both. We must live in a way that pleases Him. This is what the fear of the Lord that means. It means that we have a heart that is humble before the Lord. It is full of that reverential awe and the fear of God that actually demonstrates it in outward obedience. This is a decision that every one of us must make. And so my challenge to you today is to purpose in your heart tonight that by God's grace, you will seek to have the fear of the Lord, the heart that desires to please Him, a heart of love towards Him, one that wants to be dedicated to Him, one that wants to cleave to Him. So purpose in your heart that you would ask God to help you with this every day, to have that heart, and then to live a life that actually pleases Him. Demonstrate your fear of the Lord by how you live on a daily basis.